Welcome to Babbittville Radio, a place where you'll hear great conversations with the world's best and most inspirational runner, triathletes, and cyclists. Endurance lives here. Now, here's your host, USA Triathlon and Ironman Triathlon Hall of Famer, Bob Babbitt.
Welcome to Babbittville Radio. My name is Bob Babbitt. We are brought to you by the Tough Man Triathlon Series. That's toughmantri.com, by VeloFix.com, the world's coolest mobile bike shop, RunCatalina.com, the Catalina Eco Marathon, Half Marathon, and 10K coming up November 18th, ATVSwimSpas.com, the official training vessel of six-time Ironman World Champion Dave Scott. Our Challenged Athletes Foundation, we just sent out 2,448 grants totaling $3.7 million to keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check out any of our interviews on Babbittville.com and on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here. Our next guest, in my opinion, might be the world's greatest endurance athlete. I don't know very many people who played rugby, were a Paralympic medalist in skiing and cross-country skiing, did Xterra, Ironman, Hurt 100, won the Catalina Marathon, did escape from Alcatraz, I don't know how many times, participated in adventure racing, and did I mention kayaking the Grand Canyon? Leadville 100 mountain bike, Leadville 100 run, and the Lead Man, which is one of the craziest combination of five events I've ever heard of. His name is Willie Stewart. Willie, how the heck you doing?
I'm awesome, Bob. And like I've said before, that's a introduction that will make you feel embarrassed.
Good. My role in life is to embarrass Willie J. Stewart. So, Willie, as we chatted not that long ago about, you know, one of my favorite moments, and I mean, it wasn't your favorite moment. You're in the hospital. You just lost your arm in the Watergate building, a horrific construction accident, and your mom is sitting there by the bedside, and you toss her an orange to peel it for you, and she basically just throws it back to you. And it, to me, that's sort of symbolic of, hey, you know what? You're going to have to do this on your own moving forward. Did that sort of clarify to you, okay, I've got to move forward?
Yes, it did. But she, you know, she had a few little tricks like that that I thoroughly didn't appreciate, but it sent a loud and clear message. And, you know, she threw the orange back and said, peel it yourself, and walked out of the room. And, I knew what she was saying. I kind of got it. And then I was saying, we were talking earlier, and I was talking about, she was the one also that made me make a promise about a year or so after I was injured to go and do a 5K race. And I was like, you know, I haven't done anything athletic. I hadn't done any sports or competed or, you know, I basically was hiding in the shadows. And she made me promise to go do a 5K. And I kept that promise. And I think there was the change in my life started with that keeping of that promise to do a 5K. And I'd have to say I was close to last in it. It was in Washington, D.C., yeah. But I still did it, and it made me feel completely different about who I was and what I was capable of doing. And it was just the baby steps, toeing the line.
I remember one of the lines that when we were interviewing you years ago, you said, sport makes me whole. And obviously from everything you still do, like you were out for a run today, right? And this Leadville 100 run, mountain run, you just did this a couple weeks ago, and your feet are still pretty chopped up. And you went for a couple mile run today, just because you sort of have to.
Yeah, my feet are a mess, but I knew I could go for about 3 miles, and I just wanted to see if I could, which I was happy about. But it does. It makes me a better. I hate saying it, but a better citizen.
Yeah.
A better parent.
Yep.
And a better husband. And if it's so easy to go run 3 miles to get that to be better, then why wouldn't you?
And when did you first start working with the disabled population, with challenged athletes? Because was it to Breckenridge originally?
Yeah, what ultimately happened that I got the job in Breckenridge, I did a camp, one of the little Shriner camps for kids missing limbs. And I did a camp with about 26 kids that were missing their arms and legs. And Yeah, I didn't think I had anything to offer, and it actually turned out that they offered me way more. But those kids' attitudes rubbed off on me, and then I saw what the kids were up to and how they did things, and they inspired me. And I always thought in my mind, even I think I was about 19 years old at that time, in my mind I felt like, these are incredible kids, and yet I've never, ever seen any of them. And then here we are now, 25 years after, you know, the start of Challenge Athletes Foundation, we see those kids every day.
Well, you were at some of our early San Diego Triathlon Challenge events, and you had met McLaren, right? Now, did you know McLaren before he became a quadriplegic? Do you know him as an amputee?
Jim was recently hurt, became a quad, and his brother brought him out to Colorado to just to get him out of the scene and wanted to see if someone could take him skiing. He came in and the ski school said, why don't you go talk to Willie? And I grabbed a couple big studs, and they took Jim up on the mountain, and they became really good friends. And after skiing almost every day, Jim, myself, and the guys, we'd go out and have a beer or two. And I really, I enjoyed Jim. I thought he was just an incredible guy. He's charismatic. He was very handsome, and everywhere he went, a bunch of girls followed him, so I followed him, too.
Good move.
Yeah.
And did he invite you out here for San Diego Triathlon Challenge to San Diego?
He did. He said, we're doing a fundraiser, and I said, I don't even know how to swim. And he goes, he basically told me, quit being a big wimp. He said, you can swim.
So was that really one of your first swims when you came out here?
Yeah, I went out there, and I remember going to the Cove, and that's when I met Jeffrey Essekow, one of the founders, and he said, Willie, could you come and help us do this swim and help us raise some money for our friend Jimmy? And I said, sure, I'll come out there. And he said, but are you going to do it? And I go, well, that's why I'm here, to learn how to swim. So
right.
I basically dog paddled out to that quarter mile buoy
that's
half
pretty
mile
far.
Buoy.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Yeah, but I mean, back then I could dog paddle. I could do a mile and a half. But it was embarrassing, but I did do it. And here we are, you know, what, 20-some years later.
So when you think about the athletes, it's funny because back in the day, it was all about, gosh, we you know, you get great celebrities out there and that'll bring media in. But now if you think about it, athletes like yourself, Willie, you say Willie to a lot of people, they know who you're talking about. You say Rudy, you say Sarah, you say Scout. These are people become sort of one-name stars because they become somebody that a lot of people have seen, been a lot of media around. When you think of, because you knew Rudy Garcia Tolson when he was, what, 8, 9 years old?
I'd say he was 7 or 8, you know. And I was working at the university that's where he came in and got his leg.
Oh, that's from Michael Davidson.
Yeah.
Out of Loma Linda.
I remember vividly seeing this, though, was when Rudy tagged off to Robin over at the Malibu Tribe.
Yes.
And I took pictures of that, but I thought that was enough to inspire me personally for years. And I felt that power would be incredible to share with others. And luckily, it with the help of people like yourself, it seemed to work. And I thought it was what I really wanted more than anything was not to be just inspired, but to also be respected for the athletic skill and perseverance that these folks with disabilities brought to the table that made us all better. And CAF kind of captured that spirit 20 years before anyone else even thought about it.
How have things changed for someone like yourself when you were injured? Were there any resources at all?
No, you were kind of naked. You were
right.
Naked in the woods. But the biggest thing I think that's changed is, and it's really important to me, and I think it's what CF does so well, is when a parent has a child born with a disability,
yep.
I think there was a certain amount of hopelessness, and now there's hope. And any organization that creates hope is an organization that I would think everybody wants to be involved with. But I've watched parents come in with kids with disabilities when I worked in the ski industry, and they didn't believe in their child. And then I think now parents have a strength that's given to them by the people that have come before them. And you're talking, you know, you said Sarah and Rudy and Scout and myself to some extent.
Yes.
But now there's, you know, CF puts 400 kids in a one-day clinic out running clinic. And
yes.
They're little kids.
Right.
And you see 400 little kids missing limbs, and they're the majority. There's power in those kids. And I think anyone that ever comes down to San Diego Triathlon Challenge sees the ability to be inspired and maybe to rethink how we look at life. And CF's done that for people. And that's a really powerful moment. This will be my 23rd year going down there, Bob.
Wow. That is pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing. One of the things that always hits me is, you know, a lot of times when you're out there on race day, you're thinking about, are the cones in the right place? Are the roads okay? Or you think about logistics. And I just remember having a mom come up and go, you guys don't realize how special this weekend is. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, for my son, we're from South Dakota, 364 days a year, he's a freak. People look at him like he's so different. And here he's like everybody else. Do you see a lot of that? The mentoring, the prosthetists talking to each other, the families talking to each other. To me, that day, that weekend is the most important thing we do at CAF because it meets so many different needs.
Yeah, and that kid is Jake, I'm pretty sure. And he's a young man now. And what I see now is, the kids are more accepted. There's a lot of difficulties still to overcome. And I think the ultimate goal for us as an organization, like CAF, mm-hmm. you, is to make ourselves irrelevant, to make it so that when that kid shows up, it's just another day on the playground. But, you know, we're still a little ways away, but we definitely have changed things for the better for all of us by putting a spotlight on kids and adults that otherwise would have been neglected.
So talk a little bit about this craziness you did this summer. You decided you wanted to do this lead man, and for people who aren't familiar, it's the, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think it's a Silver Rush 50-mile mountain bike, and then you have the mountain marathon, Leadville Marathon, and then you have the Leadville 100 mountain bike, followed the next day by the Leadville 10K run, which is crazy. Then the following weekend, it's a 100-mile Leadville 100 trail run, and all these things go 10,000 to what, 14,000, something like that?
About 13.3, I think, is the high point.
Oh, okay, that's all. That's no big
deal.
But
over 12,000 multiple times in one event, some, you know, it's kind of nutty. But I did pull it off. It was difficult, but I did it.
Willie Stewart has been our guest, one of the greatest endurance athletes a lot of you have probably never heard of, but definitely check out One Arm Willie online. What an amazing, amazing athlete. Willie, as always, thank you for joining me, and thanks for everything you do for CAF.
Thanks, Bob. My pleasure.
All right. Again, we're brought to you by ToughManTry.com, VeloFix.com, RunCatalina.com, ATVSwimSpas.com, our Challenge Athletes Foundation San Diego Triathlon Challenge weekend coming up October 21st and 22nd. We just sent out 2,448 grants, totaling $3.7 million. Keep challenged athletes in the game of life through sport. Check us out on Babbittville and on iTunes. And as always, endurance lives here.